I encourage you, listen to me. I know that we have the scriptures up here on the screen. I encourage you to follow us up on the screen, but I also encourage you to bring your Bible. Amen. Bring your Bible. There's something about bringing your Bible to church, man. Say, Pastor, that's old school. I know. But there's some things that are old school that are good old school. Amen? So bring your Bibles to church. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's start with Mark 11. Mark 11, 23 and 24. And we started talking about this last week. But I didn't get to a bunch of stuff that is so good that that I want to teach you today. Let's go up above a little bit. Let's start with verse 20. Start with verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Who cursed the fig tree? Jesus. The Bible says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So he goes to the fig tree. He's hungry. He sees it from afar off. He gets there. You ever wanted something? You're so hungry. And then you go to them, and then they're closed. It's so irritating, especially when, you know what, you're like, oh, no, their lights are still on. Amen. You know what? You know, and you're like walking up, and right when you're walking up, they lock it. You know what I mean? And then what do they say? They go, Jerry, we're closed. It's like, ugh. Well, that's kind of what happened to Jesus. Because he saw from far away the fig tree. He goes up, and then there's no figs, and he curses the fig tree. Now, I don't have time to teach on this, but he's not cursing it in some kind of rage. You know what? That's not a sign of Jesus losing control. It's actually a word picture for us, because the Bible even says that it wasn't the time of figs. Is that what it says? Then why in the world would he curse it? Well, here's why. Because God wants you ready in season and out of season. Right? I used to read that and say, man, what is his trip? Why is he cursing the fig tree? And it wasn't even the fig tree's fault. Here's why. He's using it as a coaching lesson for all of us. You know what? You always ought to be ready. Okay. But verse 20, and now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And you can almost read between the lines and look at his amazement that what has happened. Can I tell you what? God is saying to us, walk in the supernatural. Look at this next verse. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. In other words, why? Listen, we're going to look at it in a minute, but the one thing, one of the main things that is going to cause you to walk in the supernatural is you trusting what God says beyond what is natural. Stop. Get beyond yourself. Get out of the confines of, you know what, I don't make enough money. You know what I mean? I'm not tall enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good looking enough. You know what? I probably will never be able to own a home. I'll probably never have a, get off, you know, I can't ever lose weight. you know what, I'm just, I never can remember names. I yada, yada, yada. Get out, or even, you know what, when the Holy Spirit spoke to us, me, Tamara, myself, Brian, Arlene, Pastor Vegas, and Granny went down, and we went looking. We didn't know what we were looking for. I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying that little picture that you had of this little kind of a wooden structure of this, you know what, overflow area, or this, you know what, that's not what I'm looking to do. I'm looking to do something grand, spectacular, something that people drive by, something like they have at Disneyland. Can you say amen? You know what? How many know Disneyland shouldn't have all the cool stuff? Amen? And so when the Holy Spirit spoke, I didn't know what exactly we were looking for, but we went down to the same designers that designed this to just talk to them and just talk and brainstorm and get on his computer and have him show us some stuff. And so we finally came to what you see outdoors, and there was a question of what scale we wanted it. And obviously, the bigger it was, the more expensive it was. And so we kind of settled it in our mind, we'd go with the medium. Not the too big, not the too small, but the medium. And I went home, and when I went home, you know what? I just, you know, it just troubled me in my spirit. How many know God will speak to you? And let me teach on that for a minute. Sometimes that troubling in your spirit is the Holy Spirit trying to speak to you and trying to give you direction. Listen to me. But sometimes you're not troubled in your spirit, you're troubled in your flesh. And you have to be able to discern the difference. I know way too many Christian people, and they feel like the peace means it's God. And what I found is some of the most difficult situations in my life, the Holy Spirit was pushing me out of the box. I felt a lot of things, but I didn't feel peace. Let me say this, particularly because we talked about it early, particularly with finances. Particularly with finances. I remember when my wife came home one time and she said, you know what, the Holy Spirit told me that we were supposed to give $500 to this ministry. $500 to this ministry. I was like, get behind me, Satan. That is not of God. Amen. Well, I was a tither, but up to that point, I don't think I had ever given a one-time gift of $500. That seemed like an enormous amount of money to me. And I just thought, that is not a God. All I'm teaching you is don't automatically think that you've got to discern the difference. Am I making sense to somebody? Sometimes, you know what, the most uncomfortable positions I've ever been in have been led by the Spirit. Okay. So, but what I'm saying is that as I, and then I came out here and I walked the property and I knew the Holy Spirit was saying, don't go with the middle one, go with the biggest one. Amen. See, here's what I'm saying. Stop thinking you have to, stop limiting yourself to the natural. Stop limiting yourself to the natural and start to recognize you can walk in the supernatural. So he's telling the apostle, he's telling Peter, I said it. It's going to happen. Do you see this? And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. This is his response to Peter's like, whoa! No, I said it. And if I said it, it's going to happen. But then he goes to this next verse, and in this next conversation, he ratchets it up. Look what he says. For assuredly I say to you, Peter, I'm talking to you. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says, it will be done. He will have whatever he says. He's telling Peter, you can do this. And I'm telling you, you can do this, but it's not just limited to you. It's limited to whoever will do this, which includes you. Amen. All right. So we're going to go back to that in a minute. We're going to make 2 points, and then we're going to make 3 points, and then we're going to be done. Okay? Say 2 points, and then 3 points, and then we'll be done. But I have to make 2 points before I can make the other 3 points. The first point is this. We have been given a measure of faith. Somebody say, I've been given a measure of faith. Romans chapter 22, verse 3 says this. Romans 22? It's not there? Where is it? Each man has been given the measure of faith. Well, Oh, 12. See that that 2 was a 1. If you think you found a perfect church, you have not found it. Okay, verse 12. Guys in the back, go with me. Verse 12. Yeah, verse 3. There it is. I knew that. I'll just check in. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Here's what he's saying. I don't want you to think. And what he was really saying is, I don't want you to think more highly of yourself, but you know what? I don't want you to think less highly of yourself than you ought either. That's what he says. Think soberly. Be accurate to how you think. Watch this. Then he says, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one. Everybody say each one. Say each one means me. A measure of faith. A better translation of that is each one has been given the measure of faith. God gave you faith. Everybody say, God gave me faith. So you've got to understand. See, there's all kinds of people, like the apostles said, God, we don't have enough faith. Give us more faith. Number one, understand you've been given a measure of faith by God. Amen. 1 Peter says, you've been given everything you need for life and godliness. You know what everything you need means? You know what everything you need means? It means there's no insufficiency in what you need. See, you have the God kind of faith. Why? Because he's the one who gave it to you. It's his faith. You have the God kind of faith. Everyone, who's got it? Everyone. Say, I got it. Wave your hand and say, I got it. Come on, everybody, lift up your hand. Everybody, lift up your hand. Say, I got it. Got it. We sing that, don't we? I got it. I got it. Right? Don't get me going, amen. Don't get me going. I don't want to break the other toe also, okay? Amen. Amen. Tamara, I was telling them how I was defending you and how I karate chopped that guy. Huh? That guy was out, man. Okay, so here's what we're saying. We all have the measure. We all have God kind of faith. You have. Why do we have it? Because God gave it to us. How do we know God gave it to us? Because he told us he gave it to us. Are you catching this? See, no more thinking, wrong thinking. You think wrong, you're like, yeah, I've got it. You got it. Amen. Number two, we don't need more faith. Guys, show me number two. We don't need more faith. Second point, we don't need more faith. What we need is to exercise the faith that we've been given. Amen. Yeah, exercise? Well, I never heard of that word before. We need to exercise the faith that we've been given. We'll talk about that in a minute, but let me show you my proof text. Luke 17, verse 5 and 6. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. See, the apostles thought they needed more faith. And listen, listen to Jesus' response to them. Listen to his response. Verse 6. So the Lord said, he's responding to give us more faith. His response is this. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted into the sea. Keep it here. And it will obey you. Now, again, God's using another example, but he's talking about walking in the supernatural. You can speak to natural things, and they have to obey you. Now this, you know what? In a lot of churches, you'd be called a crazy person to think this way, to say this kind of stuff. But let me tell you why. Because those churches have gotten so far off what Jesus said, so far off what Jesus said, that now you can't even talk about any walking in the supernatural, and they'll just tell you, oh, that's all the Pentecostal crazy, tongue-talking, crazy group. Amen? Well, let me tell you what. If Jesus said it, I believe it. Amen? And listen. And whether you believe it or not, it doesn't settle it. God's word is established. Amen? So you know that, oh, you don't want, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it, it's established. Amen? It's settled. But when you believe it, then you start walking in the supernatural that other people won't walk in. Why? Not because God doesn't want them to walk in it. Not because God doesn't want you to walk in it. But you've got to understand, when God says to the apostles, you know what? I'm telling you guys, if you have faith as a mustard seed, he's responding saying, it's not that you don't have enough faith. You got enough faith. You just got to put your faith into action. Because let me tell you, the truth is, you know what? You can say, you, everybody say you. What's that? That's just a normal human being with all kinds of, you know what? One verse says, you know what? the prophet was a man, and he prayed, and you know what? He prayed that the rain would stop, and it stopped. And then again, he prayed that it would start, and it started again. What are we saying? We're saying, guys, stop thinking that you can't, because God says that you can. You can think outside the box. Stop allowing natural things that have held you back for years to dictate where your boundaries are. Your boundaries are limitless. Your boundaries are supernatural. Why? Because God said they're supernatural. You have faith. You know what? If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say, what's a mustard seed? A mustard seed. You know what? If I had a mustard seed, and if I had a mustard seed in my palm of my hand, you couldn't see it. It's so small. From where you are, you wouldn't be able to see it. That's how small it is. Very, very, very small. And yet that mustard seed, when it's planted, produces a humongous tree. I said, when it's planted. Everybody say, when it's planted. How do you plant it? Oh, look at your neighbor, say, you came at the right Sunday. Because I'm going to teach you how to plant that. See, look, if you say, if you have a faith, there's a mustard seed. If you say to this mulberry tree, and there's a clue right there. If you say, we'll get there in a minute, to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the root and be planted into the sea, it will obey you. Supernatural, natural stuff, obeying and functioning in the supernatural. He curses that tree, you know what, and the next day that thing is dried up. Supernatural. And then he says, I'm telling you, Peter, you can do this. And actually, anybody can do this. Are you catching me? Yeah, the problem, everybody say, I have faith. I just have to exercise my faith. See, stop thinking you don't have enough. You know what? Go ahead, guys in the back. Turn to that scripture in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. I just want you to see it. 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. As his divine power. See, his divine power. Does God have enough power to do it supernaturally? I said, does God have enough power to do things supernaturally? Now watch this. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God is saying, I'm going to give you my supernatural power that you can take care of things in your life. How many need to take care of some things in your life? Okay. Life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his virtue. Next verse. By which have been given to us. Raise your hand and say, I have it. Why? Because it's been given to you. How do you know that? Because the Bible said it's been given to you. See, stop thinking you don't have enough faith. Stop thinking you don't have any faith. You don't have enough faith. You are saying something different than the Bible said. Don't say stuff. Don't think different than the Bible thinks. Don't say different than the Bible says. Say what God says. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm receptive to hear that. Are you catching this? Okay. Now, those are the two things. Wow. Now let me talk about the three things. I said we're going to talk about two things, then we're going to talk about three things. Three ingredients to the faith that moves mountains. Three ingredients that move, that have the faith. Three keys of faith that moves mountains. What's move a mountain? Or I could say it like this. Three keys of faith that causes you to be able to walk in the supernatural. How many have situations in your life and it seems in the natural there's no way? Okay. Well, aren't you glad you're not limited to the natural? But you have to understand how to do that. Number one. Everybody say number one. You must understand your abilities. He said, Pastor, that's the problem. I understand my abilities. No. Everybody say ability. Okay. Your ability. Turn back to Romans 11. Romans 11. And let's look at that verse 23 again. I didn't say Romans. I mean Mark. Mark 11. Mark 11, 23. For surely I say to you, whoever says. He's talking to Peter, but he expands it. He says, Peter, I'm telling you the truth that you can do this. You can do even greater than what I did. I just spoke to a fig tree. You can speak to a mountain. But Peter, it's not just for you, it's for whoever. Whoever what? Well, whoever does the other two things I'm going to teach you. But the number one thing you have to understand is I'm a whosoever. Can you say amen? I say it like this. Whosoever means you. Whosoever includes you. Whosoever is you. Whosoever means you, it includes you, and it is you. See, God's not saying, no. Now, there are some things that we have to do in order for this to happen, but all you have to do is do that. Amen? Does that make sense? How many know you can go over and if Superior has grapes, you know what? You can buy grapes. They don't care how fat you are, how skinny you are, how tall you are, how short you are. They don't care about your hairstyle. You just, all you got to do is have some money and you can buy grapes. Amen? See, that's whoever. Now, so this is whoever. Now, you got to do some stuff. You can't walk out of the store without any paying for it. But you're not restricted. Anybody can buy grapes if they got the money. Okay. So anyone can walk in the supernatural. What are we talking about today? We're talking about walking in the supernatural. Anybody can walk in the supernatural, but there's two ingredients that they have to have. Look what it says. Assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Did you catch the two ingredients? How many know what one of the ingredients is? You gotta says stuff. Right? Now, people will argue this fact, but I'll look at it in a minute. It is unarguable. And one of the proofs that it's unarguable is because Jesus said that's how you do it. It trips me out how we have pastors and leaders and they mock Jesus. They mock the importance and the power of the tongue. I hear them on the radio. And you know what? And you need to turn it off. Because Jesus said, in order to walk in the supernatural, you've got to use your mouth. Well, I just don't think that, and that just sounds like, stop thinking that you know more than Jesus. Amen. Number one, you've got to say, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm going to show you how incredibly powerful you know what, you speaking is. And number two, you got to believe. Not doubt in your heart, but believe. Everybody say, but believe. One prophet who's gone to be with the Lord, I like what he said. He said, the door of the supernatural is on two hinges. The door of the supernatural is on two hinges. One is to say, and one is to believe. The door of the supernatural. In other words, for you to open that door into the supernatural. How many would like to walk in the supernatural? Well, here's what Jesus said. You can do it. Peter, you can do it just like I did it. But you have to exercise two things. One, you've got to believe. And two, you've got to say. Now, we're going to break it down and talk about the two things that you have to do, but I'm going to give you an example because the two things are really one thing. Watch. Let me illustrate. If I come here and I sit in this chair, I am doing two things. How many know I believe this chair can hold me? Okay. And two, I am, so the two things I'm doing, I'm believing and I'm acting. You know, someone says, oh, I'm not, you know what, I'm not sure, I'm not saying that chair won't hold me, but I just don't want to sit in it right now. How many know if you really believe that chair is going to hold you, what are you going to do? You're going to sit on down. Okay. So the two things are really one thing. It's and the Bible says faith without works is what? Dead. So when Jesus talks about it, he breaks it up in believing and saying, but if you really believe, you're going to say. And when you say, it'll help you to believe. Okay, so let's break it down. Number one, say, I need to believe. The supernatural power of God is available. That door is on two hinges, to speak and to believe. Okay, so how do I open the door? I've got to speak and I've got to believe. Let's talk about believe first. Okay. Think about for a minute. Let me show it to you. You're almost there. Turn on over to Mark. Guys in the back, you got to follow me. Mark chapter 16. Okay, the door of the supernatural is on how many hinges? Two. What are the two hinges? Say and believe. Two things. Okay. Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 15. And he said to them, this is the last thing that God says before he ascends into heaven. Well, you think that'd be a pretty important thing to notice, right? And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. He who believes will be baptized and saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Amen. Matthew says it a little different. You know what? It's the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. We say, hey, amen, amen, amen. Amen. But keep on reading. Everybody say, keep on reading. And these signs will follow who? Those who believe in my name, they will cast out demons. How many know that's supernatural? They will speak with new tongues. How many know that's supernatural? Well, Pastor, I just don't believe that tongue stuff. We just have to stick with Jesus. Well, Jesus said it. Amen? They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. How many know everything that's mentioned here is supernatural? Watch this and watch this. And it is predicated by what? Look at it. Look, you tell me, besides Jonathan, you tell me what it's predicated. Who's gonna walk in that? Look at it. Look at it. You tell me. No, let's see. Go back to verse 17. What's it predicated on? Oh, come on. Come on. Man, don't you like a teacher who gives you the answers right on the board? What's the answer? What is it predicated by? Come on, look at it. Who's it predicated by? Well, you see it. Those who believe. What does that mean? It means that the door to the supernatural is on two hinges. One of the hinges is you have to believe. See, sometimes we're just not walking in the supernatural. Jesus said, or the Bible says it like this, you have not because you... Why ain't you asking? Here's why, because you don't even think it's going to happen. James says, you pray and don't expect, you're not sure, will he do it, will he not? Will he do it, will he not do it? James says in Matthew, don't even sweat it. It ain't going to happen. Why? Because the door of the supernatural is on two hinges. And one of those hinges is you must believe. Amen. Now, let's talk about believing. Because that, like, trip you out. Ooh, you know, don't let it trip you out. Ooh. Wait, stop. Believing, here's what God will not have his family do. Not believe him. Why? Because it's impossible for him to lie. It's possible for him to lie. He's a relational God. And it hurts him. It hurts him when we don't believe him. See, let me say it a little forceful. Can I say it a little forceful? Okay. Y'all won't get offended. Shame on you for not believing God. I'm smiling, right? No, really, think of it. That is a awful thing that God can speak to us and we not believe him. See, we have to believe God. Yeah, but he told me to break up with my boyfriend and I like him and he told me he loved me. I know, but God said break up with him. Amen? I didn't say break up with your wife. No, listen to me, somebody. You can't break up with your wife. You can't break up with your husband. Amen. Amen. Now, if you've already gone through a divorce, then you know what? There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But see, if you accept the lie that you just married the wrong person, then you're gonna have like that one lady, you're going to have 58 marriages, you know what I mean? Because how many know everybody's the wrong person? Let me, if you compare your husband to Princess Charming, you know what I mean? You know what? If you compare your wife, amen, this is good. If you compare your wife to, you know what, Princess whoever. Somebody help me out. Princess who? Cinderella. You know what? Cinderella. You know what I mean? We're all in, right? Whoever. Okay. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about when God says something to us, he expects us to believe it. He's a relational God. He, you know what? Think about it. Think about it for a minute. Because ultimately, if you want to walk in the supernatural, you've got to believe God. Think of all the examples. I'll just give you a few. The man, he's blind. Jesus puts mud on his eyes and then tells him, yeah, made with spit. I mean, you'd think at least Jesus would go to the spigot and, or go to the well and get some fresh water. No, he spits. Puts it on his eye. Then he tells him, go and wash 7 times. How come that man saw? Here's why. Because he believed God. Because he would believe God. How much sense did that make? How many of us would walk away and go, unbelievable. Jesus spits, makes mud, puts it in my eye, and then he expects me to. See, can I tell you what? We are way too smart for our own good. Lean not into your own understanding. If God said it, just believe whatever he tells you to do, you do it. Amen. Number two, the man with the withered arm. You know what Jesus tells him? Stretch out. He's got a withered arm. What did he tell him? Stretch out your hand. I don't know how he did it. I don't know. Here's what I know. Jesus said stretch it out his arm. He stretched out his arm. Maybe he just took the other arm and lifted it up. I don't know. But I know Jesus isn't just messing with them. You know what the Bible says? Those who are sick. You know what James says? Call upon the elders of the church. Why is he saying that? Because he wants you to pick up the phone and call upon the elders. They'll pray, but you call. Expectation. What are we really talking about? I'm really talking about expectation. That's what I'm really, if you don't know, that's really what I'm talking about. You know what? You get your expect, you know what? He did this over and over and over again. You know what I mean? Take up your bed and walk. Huh? I'm a I haven't walked. I don't walk. See, the power of the supernatural is on two hinges. And one of those hinges is you must believe. Stop, you know, the Bible says, give no room for the devil. Stop accepting unbelief as acceptable in your heart. And start to recognize the poison that it is. Are you catching this? Let's see. Yeah, okay. Number two, and all, you know, come to the second service, you'll get the long version of this. Number two, you've got to speak. You've got to speak. You've got to speak. Look what it says. Go back to Mark 11. For surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, says to the mountain, says, everybody say, says to the mountain. You've got to make up your mind. Either you're going to believe Jesus or you're going to believe these other people who don't believe in the power of the tongue. Let me tell you, just tell you where I stand. Just so you know, I believe Jesus. Amen. What does God do? God calls the things that are not as though they were. That's what he does. He tells Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. He tells all the people, hey, sit these people down. I'm going to feed them. He says that. He says to the fig tree, you know what? Nobody's going to eat of you. See, I want to stop mocking, you know what, the power of the tongue, and I want to start walking in the power of the tongue. Amen? That's what I want to do. I want to get on the right side of believing what God says. And Jesus says, speak to the mountain. Be removed. What's your mountain? What's your mountain? Is your mountain that you have struggled with weight all your life? Well, stop saying every potato chip goes right to my thighs. Stop saying that. Amen? Amen? Do you worry about your kids too much? Stop confessing that. Stop saying that. Stop speaking. The Bible says in James that from your mouth is coming blessings and cursings. James says it should not be that way. Stop cursing your life. Start paying attention. Maybe, just maybe I'm being facetious, maybe you're in your mess because of your mouth. Stop cursing your kids. Stop cursing your spouse. I said, stop cursing your spouse. Your spouse comes in. I've told you this. You run up to him and say, I tell you what, who's the rock? What's that guy's name? Greg Johnson? Dwayne. You know what? Your husband comes in. Say, ladies, listen to me. Your husband comes in, says, Dwayne Johnson, I got you, baby. I got you, babe. Amen? And you give him a big kiss. Amen? Yeah, but my husband, shutteth thou moutheth. Speak blessings to your husband. Well, my wife is, I told you this before, I went, this is years ago, I went golfing with my friend, and it was just me and him. They had somebody else. They said, hey, you golf with these two guys. And we golf with them for 18 holes, man. They just were complaining about their wives. And they nag. I'm like, dudes, you're the biggest nags in the world. I was like, at the 18th hole, I was so happy, amen. Because I got away from these complainers, amen. I mean, we can just become just constantly complaining. Amen? You know what? Oh, we got to do this. We got to do this. Well, shut up and do it. Amen? Yeah. Oh, I got some amens over here. Stop. How many know if you just would stop complaining about it and just do it? Amen. How many know we could do stuff with a good attitude? All right. Did you learn some stuff? Noah is told, listen to me, Noah is told to do something that seems crazy. You know what? I love what God says to Noah. Noah, build yourself an ark. Understand this. God, whether God is telling you to give, God is telling you to forgive, God is telling you to repent, God is telling you, whatever God is telling you, God is telling you, break up with that dude. God is telling you, whatever, get a haircut, whatever he's telling you to do. I don't know what he's telling you to do. Whatever he's telling you to do. By the way, God didn't tell me to get this haircut, okay? All I'm saying is, whatever God is telling you to do, understand God's incredible love for you. Understand that the most unwise thing for you to do would be not to do what God told you to do. Most unwise thing you could do. And one of the things that God tells you to do is stop with your mouth blessing and cursing. And you know what? And I'll close with this. In the understanding of what James says, here's what he says. With your mouth, listen, because I'm going to give you some detail that you need to receive. With it, we bless God, and with it, we curse men. We have a tendency to curse men. And we're not called to curse men. We're called to bless God and to bless men. We're called to speak to our mountains. Situations that are in our way, and we need to speak. You know what? If you have an ailment, confess what God says. Speak healing over yourself. If you have a problem, you know what? Let the weak say they are strong. That's what the Bible says. See, you know what? No weapon formed against you will prosper. Do you know this? Isaiah, guys going back, Isaiah 54:17. Look what it says. It's my third point, or second point, or third point. Isaiah, you guys got it? Indeed, they shall, no. Okay. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know that, right? But look what it says after this. And every tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Listen, you can't, this is the truth. You might not know this, but you can't curse me that I won't correct it. And correct it with my mouth. Now, I might be polite, you know what, and let you walk away, but I will say out loud, I'll say, it ain't going to happen to me. Oh, you know what, Pastor, you're probably catching that because that's going around. I'll smile at you, you know what I mean? But then when you walk away, I'll say, that ain't happening to me. Where do you get that? I get that from right there because I'm not going to allow you to speak a curse over me and me not take care of it in the spiritual realm. Life and death is the power of the tongue. I won't let you curse my family that I won't take care of it. Amen? See, all this stuff happens and we don't say anything. Amen? We got to understand that the hinges that this supernatural door are going to open or not open are based on two things, you believing and you speaking. I like what I heard one man say. He said, you know what? Satan doesn't care what you believe as long as you shut up. That was a wise man who said that. Because notice, and we want to rewrite the scripture. Mark 11:23 and 24, Mark 11:23 doesn't say, you know, the first thing that Jesus says after he says anyone can do this, he says, Peter, you need to say to that mountain. First thing he says, we want to take that part off. I'm telling you what, you can do whatever you want. But I tell you what I'm doing. I love this. Proverbs, go back there. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Look at this. Oh, I know that scripture. Well, let's look at it. See if you know it. Death and life are the power of the tongue. How many know death and life is the power of the tongue? Everybody say death. How many know you can speak death to some things that you need to speak death to? Strife and strife and confusion in my household. I speak death to that spirit of strife and confusion. You know, poverty. How many know you can speak death to poverty? Somebody has equaled poverty to spirituality. I like what Jimmy Evans said. He said, let me tell you what. My father was poor. Poor is a curse. Amen. That's absolutely the truth. If poverty wasn't a curse, then why are we going to all nations, all these nations that are impoverished, and trying to fix it? Because anybody, even people unspiritual, understand poverty is a curse. How in the world the church has started to think that poverty is a blessing is craziness. It's craziness. Now, I didn't say greed was a blessing. Greed is a curse too. But sometimes we get on this side of the pendulum and then we swing it back over here too much. No, let me tell you what. Because impoverishment is that you don't have enough money. Some of you don't have two nickels to scrape together. Amen? And you need to start speaking death to poverty. Amen. Well, watch it. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. I love this. And I'm going to eat of its fruit. And you're not going to curse me that I don't say something against that. Because I believe in the power of the tongue. And when you start believing in the power of the tongue, that's when you're going to start walking in it. You're walking in it anyway. You just don't understand how much it's hurting you. It's like smashing. It's like you're putting your thumb out there and you're smashing it with a hammer. And your thumb's all big. You're like, I don't understand why my thumb is all big and it's hurt so much. Hello? Hello. All right, sweetie.
It's not wrong that you ever feel doubt. Doubt happens to everybody. Do you know that? Doubt happens. It's what we do with the doubt. Doubt will come to everyone. Doubt came to John the Baptist, didn't it? John the Baptist. I mean, he's the one who baptized Jesus. Remember, he's the one who said, this is the one. Here he is. Remember that? He was right there when the heavens opened and the dove and the whole thing, that was John. But you know what John did later on when he got in prison? Do you remember? Yeah, he calls two of the disciples because he hears everything that's going on with Jesus. He calls two of the disciples and he says, go and ask Jesus, is he the one? What the heck? It was happening just like John knew that it would, proclaimed that it would. But then he says, go ask him. See, doubt happens to everybody. Eve, Satan came to her with doubt. It's the first thing he did. It's very important, this believing thing. It's very important what we're choosing, the life or the death. It's very important that we are anchored in what God's words said. Eve had God's word, so do you. Satan came and planted doubt. He does for you too. She went with Satan's words. What are you going to do? It's your choice. You can choose whether or not you're going to go with that. And isn't it interesting, as we're talking about the two hinges, remember, let's back up some more. Remember Zechariah? So now, what's her name? Elizabeth? What, Elizabeth, right? Elizabeth is pregnant with who? John the Baptist, the very one we were just talking about. So she's pregnant with John. The angel comes and tells her husband. Her husband doesn't believe it. He just can't fathom. It's like, I'm too old. This can't be. Da, 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 da. And what happens? Yeah, he says, because you're not believing, look how important this is. You're going to be mute until this baby is born. Do you see the word picture God's trying to give us? You know what? We all might see a lot more of the things of God if God would make us mute. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. We need to be careful. We say what God says. That's what Eve should have done. Jesus gave us that example. Remember? He had some words from God too, right? And the enemy came to him, right? And the enemy is a sucker. He'll come from the backside. He'll come in the weakest moment. He'll come. He's just a sucker. Doesn't play fair. So at the worst time, he'll be right there to whisper in your ear, and you can guarantee it. And if you don't bite then, you can also guarantee he's coming back for a more opportune time. Because it's all about getting you to release God's words, to stop believing what God said. This is the walk of faith. This is why we must believe. Listen, you're either believing the enemy or you're believing God. And we just have to choose. Who is that going to be? And if we're not going to his word and saying, yeah, no, but God, you said, if we're not walking that and doing like Jesus did, which was just to quote right back what the word says, because the thoughts come. And the pain comes, and the circumstances are facing us right there. And if we're saying nothing, if we're not talking back, we're probably going down. Meaning, we're going to let go of God's words, and we're going to get ripped off. But we need to be sure. You know, this is interesting. When I first got... I got born again. This is a man who totally taught faith right from the beginning, huh? That's interesting because I thought about, because I have grabbed this from the beginning of becoming a believer. I actually believed as a believer, right? But I was taught faith right from the very beginning, too. This is such an important teaching. This is foundational to your Christianity. It's not optional. Out there in the church world, it's almost as if, you know what, you would think, and if you've got the wrong idea that you can pick and choose what you do and don't believe, you're getting ripped off. But they kind of do it like, okay, so there's Jesus, like he's the main course. And then there's all these a la carte things that you can choose if you'd like. You ever gone through a, right, buffet? It's not like that. But you would think it was. Anyone else experience that? Anybody? Yeah, they act like it's, you just choose things, pick them up, a la carte. Ain't no a la carte in God. Is everything. Amen. 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 Woo. Okay, we've got some stuff going on this week, huh? Thank you. (Clears throat) I'm going to give you the announcements, and then I'm going to pray with us. You know what? That we just ask God, you know what, to help us to believe him more and to walk with him more. Amen? Because it's in that that we're going to, you know what, experience how good God is. And that's our choice. And nobody, see, Eve could not have gotten ripped off except for by her own doing. And you can't get ripped off either except for by your own doing. Don't let go. Don't stop trusting God. Don't stop knowing how good he is. That's the plan. That's the only plan the enemy has, is to talk you out of it. Because if he can't talk you out of it, he's got no power except for the power to influence you. This is not correct. And you don't want to follow him, I assure you. The Bible tells us the plans that he has for us. They're not good. They're not good. Amen? All right. Actually, let's just pray right now. It just feels like the right time. Father, I just thank you for what you're teaching us. I thank you, Lord, that you're just taking us back to a very, very foundational part of our Christianity. This is jugular to our Christianity. This is not an a la carte. We can choose to be people of faith if we want to, or not to be people of faith if we don't want to. Thank you that you've been speaking to us by the Spirit of God through this whole message as it has begun a few weeks ago. That you're building and you're challenging us. Thank you that the Holy Spirit leads us into truth. If you know that God is pulling you with this teaching of faith, that you know he is challenging you and asking you to grab hold of this and come closer to him in this than you ever have, I want you to just raise your hand up. Just say, Lord, that's me. That's me. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Father, I thank you that you see the hands that are hearing your voice. I thank you, Father, that you continue to just strengthen us through your word, that you would continue to just lead us and guide us and teach us by your words. I thank you, Father, that we are people of faith. We declare that, Father, that we are those who know that you are a good God. We believe you. Thank you, Lord, that you will teach us how to live by faith, that you will teach us how to do this. I thank you that you strengthen us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.